podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to A Choir Kid's Dream, where I, DJ Melody, will teach you how to songwrite, record, and market your music. Welcome to the second songwriting episode, where we're going to talk about the significance of a couple of chords, basic theory you can use when collaborating with musicians, significance of a major or a minor scale in a song, and how to break apart your favorite song. So basically, the major scale of a song is when it has more upbeat kind of notes. There tends to be more flats and sharps, from my experience, more diversity of sound. If you hear anything really upbeat, a lot of Stevie Wonder songs, all of that, you're mainly going to be hitting major songs. And a minor song is more kind of sad song, a lot of white chords, kind of a little more emptiness to the song. Minor songs are really good if you're trying to go for a somber, reflective kind of feeling. But it doesn't exactly reflect the mood or the purpose of the song. I know a couple of my favorite sad songs happen to be in major, and that's also a very artistic thing, is to kind of make the music sound different than the lyrics and kind of even the voice, like have all those different emotions mixed in. It kind of adds to the duality of the meaning of the song that you're trying to write. So there's no one size fits all, but that's mainly how to tell musically what a song is. And so now I'm going to go into finding the key of any of your favorite songs. So basically, you can use any kind of instrument to do this. I like to use guitar or piano. I personally like guitar more. I don't know why. But basically, you go down the fretboard or you go down the notes of whatever you're playing with, and you're trying to find the note that sounds good with everything. And I mean everything. So you keep playing the note, dun, 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 and eventually it will work with every other thing musically in the song. If you pause the song right now, you could end it on that note. Ooh. That is a major A. That is the key of someone like you, is an A major. The notes sound very happy, but obviously it's a very sad song. But if you just listen to just the piano part, you could actually write kind of a happy, reflective kind of song. Like, I don't know. It's kind of interesting when you really think about it. But this note will work with literally everything. And if it doesn't work with some things, you might have just found a really nice note in the song, maybe a note that involves a lot of the chords. But again, this has to work with basically everything. And if you think about it, the song kind of pulls to that note. It's looking for that note to resolve the song. Again, it is really hard, because sometimes you will find a note that just happens to fit a lot of the chords. And so now when I'm playing and writing, I try not to worry about the key that I'm playing in, because for me, at least, when I think too much about theory, it kind of kills my creativity. So I still want you to kind of carry the vibe from that first episode of songwriting, where I was like, hey, just play what makes you happy, play what you're feeling, play what mixes with the lyrics you wrote, right? And, you know, I know that I went into how you put the lyrics first. Now, if we're talking about the melody, which is the part where you're actually singing, I don't know. I mean, sometimes I like just writing the piano first. Like, how do these lyrics make me feel? And then I start singing over it. So that's a whole other thing. For me, mainly, I just do that by intuition, just because I did sing and do choir a lot. And if you are going to sing in your project, I do just urge you to do it by feeling, especially because you will need a lot of harmony and melody tracks for your songs. And that's way better when you can do it based off feeling. For me, I know listening a lot to the Beatles, or even a lot of R&B songs have a lot of harmonies, or any harmony group, really, the Mamas and the Papas, anything. Maybe there's something new out there. I know the Infinity Siblings. Those are some really new harmony groups that I really like that have came out the past couple years. But anyways, I don't worry about the key I'm playing in too much, since I still play with other musicians and I'm still really into singing and creating. But it is cool to get used to playing in certain keys, and also just kind of know what you're doing, so that if you do jam out with someone, you know. Now again, I have only really deeply studied a couple of keys, just because, again, I'm focusing on feeling it out. But memorize as much as you can as you go, but make sure to keep it fun, because that's what it's all about. We're going to go off track a little bit, and we're going to talk about reading music. So you have a bass and a treble clef. The bass looks kind of like a C, upside down C. Treble is that cute one that kind of goes a little curve. Anyways, you heard Every Good Boy Does Fine, maybe. So that is down to up on the lines that you see on those, the two, five lines. And then down to up face. So the top one is E, right? The bottom is F. That's in those little spaces in between the lines, those four spaces. That was treble. It's actually very similar for bass. A lot of people get confused. It's actually still Every Good Boy Does Fine, but it's just the first one on the bottom is going to be G. So good boys do fine always. So then that A is going to be at the top line. And fun fact, in the treble clef, the A is actually going to be that note. That note, kind of the second, two more up after you get off the lines. But anyways, I don't want to confuse you. So the bass clef is good boys do fine always on the lines down to up. And then instead of face, it's just ace, right? Because we're taking off that F between those spaces. And the last, that fourth one in that fourth space is going to be G, ace G. So that's only one more note to know. And again, I'm not trying to confuse you, but when I was adding in that extra thing about the A and all that, we can also go into reading music above and below those lines that I'm talking about. But let's just not do that right now. And so anyways, I'm going to go back to chords now kind of for a second. I'm going to go back into keys now kind of for a second. So C major is an easy one. It simply has no sharps and no flats. So when we're talking about that, it means that C major is simply just the notes. C major is just simply C, D, E, F, G. That's C, D, E, F, G. Yeah, those are the five fingers for that. Five finger patterns are really good if you're trying to get good at piano. I know for guitar, there's also a lot of scales you can do. So that's really cool. Now I'm just going to refresh you on sharps and flats. So a flat lowers a note by a half step on the piano. It's going to be that black key on the left of what you're playing. So left of A is A flat, right? And then the sharp is the right of what you're playing. So the right of A is A sharp. Now a flat's going to have that little cursive B. A sharp's going to have a hashtag. I think of it as a hashtag still. It's easy to kind of know. But anyways, why we need to know this is because we need to know this when we're memorizing keys. The G major chord has every letter being the same, but Fs are played as sharps. So you're going to move that F to the right on the black key. D major has F sharp and C sharp. F major has just B flat. So when we're going into those five finger patterns, F major is going to have F, starts on F. F, G, A, B flat, and C, right? So on and so forth. So G major is, it's five finger pattern, actually is just G, A, B, C, D. But if you keep going into the eight notes in total, you do end up at F flat. But now, so those little five notes talking about, the triads is going to be the ones every other finger you're doing. We talk about a G major triad, it's G, B, and D, right? Because it goes G, A, B, C, D, but you're just doing the three. So you're doing every other. So in order to make it a minor, you have to move that middle finger. You have to move that middle finger down a half step. So starting about E major, E major's triad is E, G sharp, and B. But it would just be E, G, and B to get to E minor. That is just how to move it to major to minor. If you're kind of changing the chords in a song, you're like, oh, I want this, oh, I want that. And so now I'm going to go into augmented and diminished chords really quick in a song. So we already talked about how to get to the seventh of a chord, right? We talked about make sure from the first note of the triad to last, there's seven in between. We talked about that. Augmented is basically just you have your triad, right? And you are moving the last note to the right one. And for diminished, you are moving the last note to the left. So it just adds a little bit of spice to the songs that you are writing. And when I say one, I mean a half step, okay? So I really like looking up a piano chord chart that has A through like G sharp, A sharp, C sharp, D sharp, F sharp chords. And I like it when it has the major, the minor, the seventh, the augmented, the diminished. And I like finding different patterns, kind of like either going diagonal with it or whatever. I know I like going like A major, then B augmented, then diminished, and then go back over to D7th, or just kind of figure out just kind of random things you can do with the chords that sound good. And I even, and especially like, this is a better life hack for somebody whose voice, I have a very big vocal range, because for me, like, it doesn't matter if I change in and out of certain keys, because I know I can sing along with whatever I decide to write that I like. But it just depends. You might need to stick a little bit more to theory if your vocal range is a little smaller, and that's okay too. It'd probably sound better musically. Anyways, so now I'm going to go into a little bit about how to try to stay in key when you're writing something. Basically, what we talked about, how to find a key, figure out the chords that you want. So we're going to use C major as an example. C major is C, D, E, F, G, A, B. Those are like the main one. The we're going to just go for the seven. So you have all those things laid out for you. And so now something fun you can do is you can write that. You can write that a couple times up and down. So now you have all these notes that you're really looking at, and you can kind of cross match and figure out what to do with what chords. So you could do C, E, and G. Those are just every other, that's C major. D, F, and A, which are kind of the next over, that would be D minor. Maybe even go over to E minor, right? So skip over half and whole steps again to get there. Maybe then move down again, get yourself to F major, and then maybe G major, A minor, B diminished. That's just an example that I found online, but it works because every letter that you have, you're getting in the chord progression and you're not going out of it. Now, you can go out of it, and that's my favorite thing. I don't like following all this theory stuff. I like to add a non-diatonic chord, which is a chord that has one or two notes from outside the scale, but also at least one from in the scale, preferably two. So I still try to stay within the notes of the key, but I do like to play outside of it a lot. Usually with a flat, if I'm singing more plain, but if I'm singing more jazzy, maybe I go for a white key instead. And again, like, I always thought it would be the opposite, but when I got to writing, that's not how it was. But that's kind of a little bit of the theory. I did what I could. I'm not a huge theory person. If you haven't noticed, a lot of musicians, they either really like theory or really don't. I'm trying to learn it, but I don't love it that much. Anyways, so now we're going to go into figuring out your songs you like and trying to get into that genre a little bit. So we're going to go into that a little bit later, but I want to talk about the recording aspect. So I'm going to use songs in A minor as an example, which is an album that Alicia Keys wrote, which is one of my favorite musical artists. I think she's such a talented pianist, producer, and musician. She has a lot of keyboards, synthesizers, strong bass lines, and looped drum beats in her music, and it's considered neo soul. So there's hip hop, soul style, poetic kind of lyrics. It's hip hop and jazz. So that's something that I really like. And how did I realize all those stuff about her track, right? You listen to it, you think, oh, you know, there's a little bit of beat, maybe some piano here, some singing. What I did is I looked it up, and I also like stopped and listened, and I kept re-listening to maybe 5 seconds of a song, and I was like, what instruments are actually in this track? How did she get this sound? And that's really what you want to do when you do end up figuring out the theory and you get your song written. That's what you want to do to kind of get the genre you want. One thing I want to talk about is, if you're close to recording right now, I would highly suggest finding a drummer that will help you. A lot of people use electronic beats, but finding a drummer is usually best because you can tell when it's electronic. They always are the first you put in the tracks of a song. Even if it comes later in the actual song, like 15 seconds in, for example, a lot of that happens with country, you need drums most of the time. we're going to talk about developing different kinds of genres, their lyrical patterns, kind of like we just started doing, all the theory behind it, the popular artist in each genre, what to do to get their vibe and keep their audience in the next episode. So think about genres you want to hear, keep an eye out for all of them, keep an ear out for all of them in the next episode, and all the main genres will be covered next week. So next time with DJ Melody.